Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Welcome back to The Audition with Del Olale, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's Del and today's teacher's pet, Brad Kellner.
Welcome back to the final hour of The Audition. Brad Kellner in with me and RJ. And I see you, SMU Sonny. We want to talk about something I don't think we get a lot of calls about, or any calls about, to be honest. You want to talk about the NHL? What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Man, I just wanted to say the Dallas Stars fans last night throwing trash on the ice is a huge embarrassment. This team has been awesome. I'm from Houston, but live in Dallas now, and, man, the hockey's been a lot of fun to watch. What are we doing, guys? Like, throwing trash on the ice. We got to be better. We just got a championship in the XFL thanks to the Renegades. Like, things are good. We're in the Western Conference Finals. And it's just embarrassing. Shout out Jamie Benn. He had a bad moment, but that guy's a legend. These guys are legends. Brought a lot of joy to the city. So just be better, Dallas. And, hey, Stars in 7. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. On that Celtics energy, Stars go down 3-0 in their series. First home game in the conference finals, and they're down a goal almost immediately. Yeah. He mentioned Jamie Benn got a game of conduct early in that game with a cross check. The guy, he knocks the guy to the ground and then cross checks him to the neck and the head, and he was done for. Their captain was out minutes into that big game, and they go on to lose 4-0. They pull their goalie after 3 goals in the first period. By the way, people are like, "Oh, you just reading stuff." No, I saw all this live.
You're a big hockey guy?
I'm into the Panthers because they're an 8 seed and the Heat are 8 seed, so I'm watching the Panthers, and so now I'm into hockey for the playoffs. So sure. I watch all this happen in a matter of minutes as that crowd was excited because, okay, yeah, it went poorly in Vegas. I think they lost 2-1 goal games, and we're home. Let's get this thing going, and it was over almost immediately.
It was a disaster. I'm a big Dallas Stars fan, too, and that was one of the more embarrassing nights in the history of that franchise. Just, yeah, the first two games in Vegas both went to overtime. The Stars obviously lost both of them, but you felt like they still had a great chance in this series, and they got punched in the mouth a couple of times. They had to pull their goalie less than 10 minutes in, and, yeah, fans throwing trash on the ice in the middle of that game. It was a rough night all around. So that's been the theme of conference finals, Dell. NBA and NHL. Every single series went to 3-0. So, pretty crazy. Usually don't see that at this time of the year in either of those sports, but that's just how it's kind of been, and it sure feels like that series is over, and we're going to get the Panthers Golden Knights Stanley Cup Final. I don't know who had that.
Well, the country of Canada continues on their losing streak when it comes to winning a Stanley Cup. It's been since the Canadians? In the
93?
Early 93 when they beat the Kings. Is that the last time a Canadian team won a Stanley Cup?
I think so.
Toronto is like, we finally got a series win, and they were chanting, "We want Florida," and they got every bit of Florida. That series ended early.
Yeah.
They thought they caught a break. They didn't have to play Boston, one of the traditional rivals, and no, you didn't catch a break.
Nah, the irony of Canada not being able to win the Stanley Cup, I think, is hilarious.
And Vegas and Florida hosting it.
Yeah, the Final Four was Vegas, Florida, a team in Texas, and Carolina.
Yeah,
that's what hockey
and
is.
And Tampa is hockey royalty.
Yep.
So I don't know if that was what they foresaw as hockey expanded, but it has worked out where it's not only a national sport up in Canada. Look, sure, it's the fourth sport here, but as far as its reach and who you can be successful, location doesn't matter, as it's been made apparent by the teams competing for the Stanley Cup. So, hockey, 6 minutes of it.
Where are you, as I continue the hockey talk?
I don't mind it.
Where are you on bringing a hockey team to Houston? Are you in favor of that?
I know it's – I don't know if how small the fan base who is pushing for it is, but I would love it. I would love another major sport in this city. You know more about the sport itself, considering you're a hockey fan and you're locked into the sport. Do you think this community, the city, has enough? Do they have 19,000 dedicated that would go to games? Because Vegas is a transient city and people go there to visit, yeah. But they have been outstanding with their support.
I'd feel better about Houston hockey's chances if it was an expansion team instead of a relocating team, because the last two expansion teams have had immediate success, right? I mean, Vegas, they've been around for 6 years. They've been to the conference finals four times. They made it to the final their first year. Seattle, in its second year, they made it to the second round of the playoffs.
And they were terrible in year one.
They were terrible in year one. So it's like, look, Houston, I don't mean this as a shot. I don't think this is a shot. It's most sports cities are like this. They bandwagon a little bit, right? Like I remember what it was like 10 years ago when the Astros were losing 100 games a year. Nobody was going to Astros games. Like, that's fair. I don't blame anybody for not doing that. So I think it all sort of would depend on just how good the team is, whether or not people would be bought in early on. But I don't know, man. I want it to happen. Like, I'm excited for it, and I think for the first couple of years, the buzz would absolutely be there, Dell. The question is, like, if they struggled out of the gate, how long would that last? How long would the honeymoon phase last before people are just kind of like, it's hockey. We don't really care about this sport anyways, and the team's not any good, so why would I care?
That would probably be the concern for the league. You're not giving them something fresh and new. It'll be hockey, but you kind of feel like, oh, that's someone else's team, and now we have to adopt it. You don't get in on the ground floor, which is very important.
Yeah,
it's why the MLS is a league that's now expanding to 30 teams, and it's amazing that the relegation model isn't coming there, because it feels like 30 is too much. But American sports fans ain't gonna deal with relegation. No owner's gonna buy into a league, and then I'm gonna tell you, if you don't play well enough, you get to drop down to a lower league, and all the revenue you thought you were getting, you're not getting. It's just not the American model. And plus, there's not the history. MLS has been along not a really long time, but longer than some people might think. I think we're going back to right after the World Cup in 94 when it was here. So mm-hmm. we're almost 30 years now. It's a little less. I don't think they started in 95, but it's right around there when the MLS came to the States as far as being a real professional league. But the leagues around the world, their clubs have been around for 100 years. So all that history is ingrained, and people will still support if you're not in the top league in mm-hmm. the sport. I don't think that could happen here. The Dynamo already have issues. If you told them, oh, you're in the bottom three in a single table where there are no playoffs, and if you don't have enough points, you get to play in MLS 2.
Right.
That ain't going to work here. It's not how the American model works. So if you bring a hockey team here who isn't any good and they're getting their brains bashed in as the fourth major sport in this town, it'll be a rough one.
Yeah.
So I think I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
As far as hockey. Give me an expansion team. I think you got a real shot, because you can grow with the team. You know, you're not – although hockey, you just pointed out, expansion teams have been really good. So you may even get that benefit. You don't get the benefit of that when you're relocating. And I got – Ice Kelsey says 96. So we're talking 27 years now for the MLS. But expansion or nothing. I think the only way we would get one is if it's the team from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But I think expansion would be the best bet.
Yeah. I don't know if Tillman wants one either.
Yeah, that's probably another problem.
Like, publicly, I think he's talked about wanting an expansion team. But, like, deep down, I don't know if he wants that competing with the Rockets. Even though he could own both teams, like, I don't know if he really wants to deal with that.
And I imagine they would play it at Toyota Center. I imagine it's not a guarantee, but at least initially,
If he owns the team,
owned it. But if he didn't, some deal might have to come. Maybe they would rent it or something. But yeah, I could see why he might not want it. And I know Tillman has a lot of money, but doesn't he own U of H already? How many franchises can he own?
Hey, he was trying to own the Commanders. We know he's got at least $6 billion lying around.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're a fan of the local sports teams, maybe we limit the number of teams Tillman owns, because the one that he owns right now ain't going that well.
No, it's not. Yeah, no. I'd like for him to focus more on that team.
Yeah, or get out of the way. I'm not sure what we need from him.
Yeah.
But whatever it takes to turn that thing around, they hope to start that this offseason with their draft pick, which unfortunately is out of the top three, and all the money they're going to spend and apparently some of it will go to one James Harden. I was going to talk about Georgia, but I realize we're close to a break. So I want Brad to talk about Omni.
Yeah. We got on a hockey tangent here. I don't know if John and Lance are going to like that.
I don't care. This whole show is about not respecting them.
That's true. Yeah, we're auditioning. I don't know if the audition's going that well. But, hey, summer vacation, it's basically here. If not, it's starting very, very soon for your family. If you're looking for the perfect place to vacation, you can vacation right here in Houston. That's right. You could stay in the best city in the world and have the perfect trip at Omni Houston Hotel. Don't deal with the TSA. Don't deal with flight delays and cancellations. Don't deal with long road trips and all of the expenses and hassle and haggle that go into those. No, vacation right here at Omni Houston Hotel. You and your family can have a great time. If you and your spouse just need a couple of days off, leave the kids with a sitter and go to Omni Houston Hotel. There is so much to do. They've got two resort-style pools with a poolside bar. They've got a full-service spa and salon. La Reserve Whiskey Lounge is a great cocktail bar that serves some of the best whiskeys from all over the world. Comfortable couches, a great place to catch a game. And hey, if you got to get some work done, they've got tons of workspace there as well. I'm telling you, it's the perfect trip, and it's right here in H-Town. And my friends at Omni Houston Hotel are hooking you up right now with 15% off. That's right. All you have to do is use the promo code ESPN or tell them you heard about it on ESPN Houston when you book, and you're going to get 15% off your stay. I don't know how many hotels are hooking you up with discounts like that. Omni Houston Hotel has you taken care of. So go to their website, omnihotels.com/Houston, for more information and to book your perfect vacation.
ESPN 97.5. The audition continues on ESPN 97.5. Listen as these guys suck up to Dell for a chance at stardom. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell and today's suck up, Brad Kellner.
Someone, Quentin, who works here on the sales side, brought up an interesting question. I think it's been brought up before because we were talking about Ben Roethlisberger earlier and him rooting against Kenny Pickett earlier. He asked me, was I rooting against RJ? When he stepped in. And I told him no, because RJ was the guy after the guy.
Ah.
That's okay. Rooting for RJ is great. Now, rooting for Aaron, I'm not that vindictive. I didn't really care. So, no.
You sure?
I wasn't rooting against Aaron either, because I always root against John and Lance, so there's no need to root against Aaron, too.
Mm.
But no, I did not root against Aaron, and I'm not rooting against RJ. RJ and I actually had a – I'm not going to divulge all the information. We had a conversation about him being – in this role, and I was like, hey man, just be you. You'll be all right. RJ's fine. And guys, it's RJ. He's been here a long enough time to stop calling him me.
Mm.
He's not Dell. He's been around, you know, because Dell would never root for the Lakers. Now he's got me speaking in the third person.
Yeah.
But I would never root for the Lakers or the Dodgers. You know, I don't care about baseball enough to root for the Dodgers. RJ's been here almost a damn year.
People still calling him Dell?
He was out. You were out someplace, right? And they're like, "Hi, Dell. How's it going?"
Yeah, we were at Valencia's for the draft party.
Yeah,
and Dell had filled in that day for Lance because Lance was in L.A. And I don't know why my ass decided to turn around, but somebody was like, "Hey, Dell," and I went, "Huh?" Mm. And I turned around, and also Five Star, we love you. Five Star was here one day in Houston in studio with John and Lance. And I'm editing the show. He's leaving the studio and says, "All right, Dell, I'll see you later." I'm like, "Damn it, man!"
Sounds like racism right there.
Well,
I see a black producer in there. It's like, well, it must be Dell.
RJ's black. RJ's black, and so is a Five Star. So I'm not sure what we call that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the guy Valencia listen, is maybe John, not. But
John already said this is a battle I'm not winning. So I take the fall.
Oh man. Do you also root against John and Lance? Because I know Dell was doing that when he was producing the show.
That's true. I was rooting for their downfall at all times. I don't think RJ has that in him.
They've already said they're like RJ's the complete opposite of Dell, where Dell would like, you know, make fun of us, make us feel bad. RJ just doesn't do that.
I think I was well within my rights. You've heard that show. They deserve it.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of that show, guys, please, I get it. It's a shock to the system when the branding's different. Normally, if both of them are out, we're just running. I gotta stop saying we. I'm an independent contractor, but but I know I get it when they're out, both of them. it's just normally network. You're hearing Jay Will and Max and whoever follows them along with Keyshawn. Can't forget about Keyshawn. Mm-hmm. And the show that follows them. I get it. Normally, it's not this. But do you really think they will surprise you by getting rid of John and Lance?
Mm.
I know there's been some conflict between the shows, but honestly, do you think you wouldn't be forewarned that John and Lance wouldn't go out on their own terms? Let's have some critical thinking. Critical thinking, please. I'm not going to tell you whether they're gone or not. Think for yourselves.
Mm. They just got suspended for a while.
Oh, and there you are feeding into the nonsense.
That's what I was told. They were suspended for the week. So
I don't know, maybe because I've been inside it for so long, but it feels like an easy problem to solve. John and Lance, the morning show, the show that's been here for so long, been partners for so long, they're going to be unceremoniously dumped, and you're not going to be told about it. They're not going to go out on their own terms, and you're gonna send me tweets about, are they really gone? Are you replacing them? I haven't answered any of them because I think people should be able to figure it out.
I've been getting borderline death threats on my Twitter DMs over the last couple of days.
Jake did that to you.
You guys are the reason the bench got fired? Seriously, y'all did that? How could you do that? It'll never be the show that they are.
Well, I think guys understand some things. I've done this every day, and I'm going to do it again just because I'm filling time here. Brad read a couple lives. Because he's not on the afternoon show, so he's doing his live today.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning show, in the morning spot. John and Lance will sell you on hair restoration and patios and alcohol and my bookie and all the things in electric vehicles and all the things they sell you on. If you hear so many of those, you're begging for them to get back to actual content, that should be a clue that they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we didn't pull any of their commercials.
Yeah, that should be your first clue that the guys who you can't get to stop reading live spots are going to be okay.
Mm.
Money makes everything go round, and those live spots are cha-chings in the coffers.
I hope it's just a one-week suspension, because if those guys are gone, I think we're all gone.
Well, you keep talking about suspensions.
They do bring in a lot of money for this place.
Well, apparently Jake thinks they're being given too much money.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Granato makes at least $5 million. Yeah. He needs to take a $2.5 million pay cut.
A bit about tying him into Pat McAfee has led to you people believing that you guys got them fired and getting death threats. So, congratulations to Asmund for that.
It's worked, I guess.
Apparently, the bit is stuck. I did want to get into Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia, the two-time national champion, and Brad said they need to stop winning ball games. We're tired of them. And it's only been two, but I think people are already tired of them, partly because we don't want another Alabama on our hands. Like, Georgia was always not even the lovable loser. We like to laugh at them losing. They got close under Mark Richt a couple times. Kirby lost in the title game to Alabama. I think we had all come to accept that Alabama was going to win all the time. We only wanted one of them. We don't need Georgia to be the next in line, because the unique thing about Alabama is the run has been so long. Like, generally these things flash and go away. Like, USC was good for really great for like 4 or 5 years. Sanctions came. Pete Carroll got the hell out of there. Ohio State has been good throughout, but, you know, they've won the one national title. They haven't won multiple like Alabama. Now Georgia's done. Clemson, since 2015, they were really good, but even once Trevor Lawrence gone, slight downturn. And finally, Dabo had to hire an offensive coordinator from the outside because he saw that things weren't going the way that they had gone. No one reasonable wants another Alabama in Georgia, because Kirby Smart's younger. He's recruiting better than Saban. Mm-hmm. And if we have to deal with him for the next decade, just forget about college football as we know it, as far as any competition, although we're kind of used to an SEC team dominating. But if Georgia's next, we can just wrap it up. Look, the TCU thing and how that game played out was extreme, but it wasn't like they weren't going to dominate somebody else if Michigan had been there. We saw them against Michigan the year before. So is the only thing that's going to stop Georgia from winning their inability to follow the rules of driving?
It kind of feels that way right now. Another arrest for a Georgia football player this offseason. What is that, four?
It's the fourth. And you asked about the level of player this receiver was. Marcus Rosemene Jack Saint is a pretty good player. It's not like known guys we don't know anything about. We know about what happened to Jalen Carter. So he doesn't affect Georgia's on the field anymore, but he was one of their stars. And Rosemary Jack Saint is a good player in the rotation. You mentioned like 30-plus catches this year. So he was a player expected to contribute, and he was arrested on Tuesday for reckless driving and speeding charges. I don't know what you do, Kirby, because I feel like getting cars to them is part of the attraction to going to Georgia. Uh-huh. So I don't think you can take cars out of the equation, but it's got to be some type of – somebody has to come in and have a conversation about the safety and the dangers of driving, because these guys apparently don't get it.
Well, Georgia's now a real SEC program, right? The winning doesn't make you a real SEC team. It's the off-the-field arrest that turns you into
Into Urban Meyer's Florida.
Exactly. Yeah, hey, Georgia and Florida are rivals, you know? So I guess Georgia's just trying to be like Florida, right?
Unfortunately for Florida, Georgia's been the hammer more than rival, and Florida's been the nail. But, you know, they can spring up and maybe get a win. Not under Billy Napier.
No.
I'm just making that up. They're not beating Kirby under Billy Napier. He doesn't recruit well enough. But I imagine this is just a spurt of reckless driving cases. But
can we get chauffeurs or something?
But one's getting the message. You had one of your own players die and a staffer die, and it hasn't stopped.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what prevents this from happening in the future, right? Is it just getting chauffeurs? Is it just paying for Ubers? Like, use some of that NIL money to make sure everyone's got their own personal drivers to get them everywhere they want to go. I don't even know if that works, because guys are still going to want to drive, right? You can't prevent a kid who's got a driver's license from getting behind the wheel. So, yeah, I don't know. This might be the only thing that could take Georgia down. Like, I like them a lot better, Dell, when they were a sleeping giant. Like, it's always fun to talk about the sleeping giant. It's like, oh, yeah, like, they could be, but they're not, so it's great. And we can kind of point and laugh at their misfortunes.
And say, if they could just get it together.
Yeah, and now the Giants gotten it together, and he's awake, and it's a major, major problem because, look, they weren't the favorites last year.
No, they lost so many players.
Right. Like, I don't think people thought 2 years ago was a flash in the pan thing, but you're right. They lost so much from that 21 team, and it's like, all right, like, they'll still probably make the playoff, but they're not going to win at all. And then, boom, for them to win the title the way that they did. I'll be honest, maybe something that gives me faith is I think Ohio State was better than Georgia. Like,
yeah.
I picked them to win that game, had a lot of money on them, money line and to cover the spread, and unfortunately one of those hit because the idiot kicker just couldn't get the job done. So maybe they're not as far away from everybody else as we thought, because they should have gotten beat in the semi, but they're going to be favored to win. They're going to open the year number one. They're going to be the Vegas favorite to win at all this season. So, yeah, it is a scary thought that we might have another Alabama on our hands. And like you said, Kirby Smart's in his 40s. Like Nick Saban, you're like, he's in his 70s. You're maybe counting down the days for him. Smart could be there for a long, long time.
And it's his alma mater, so what do we got? 25 to 30 more years of this nonsense if he wants it to be. He doesn't appear to be an NFL coach, just because the personality would suggest. Ain't no grown man going to deal with Kirby Smart over an extended amount of time. What he has now seems perfect for him, and it can last a really long time. And I'm not in favor of guys being reckless drivers, because we know what it can lead to in this very offseason. It's like I said, it's probably just something over the last couple of months that will peter out. But this Georgia team in this machine is very scary, and it's not going anywhere. So if you have any hope, you have to hope that Kirby burns himself out, because if he doesn't, we're going to be dealing with them for a long time. You know who's still funny as a sleeping giant?
Who's that?
Texas. It's still funny because they're a sleeping giant.
I thought you were going to say A&M, and I was going to be on your side for a while.
I can't call them a sleeping giant because they've never done anything. At least Texas has done. I get the money and the backing, but you're just sleeping if you're A&M. You're not a giant because you've never done anything since, the modern day.
Hey, 1939, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
All those championships. So
they made that Jimbo Fisher championship plaque when he took the job. Does that not count for anything?
Actually, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. But your team is a sleeping giant. And honestly, I think a lot of people would find it funny if they remain that way. So we'll see. Although you were talking a lot about, not a lot, but you were having a conversation with the aforementioned Quinton about who would be behind Caleb Williams as the next quarterback. Do you have faith in Quinn Ewers
to be the number two quarterback taken in next year's draft?
No.
I mean, I've got faith in Texas being competitive in the Big 12 and making it to the Big 12 championship game this year. That's what they should be. But I'm not the Dallas Cowboys version of a Texas football fan, Dell. I'm not, this is our year, or every year's our year. Like, I've seen enough from the Longhorns over the last dozen years to where it's like, you got to prove it to me. So I don't think Texas is going to be one of the top teams in the country. Do they have a shot to win the Big 12? Yes. The Big 12 is not very good, and Texas has more talent than anyone else in the conference, but that's been the case a lot over the last decade, and they haven't gotten it done. So I think Quinn Ewers is fine. I think he'll be better than what he was last year, but the mock drafts that are out there that have him going in the top 5 or 10, which I've seen a couple of those, That's a little bit ridiculous. That's more based on his high school stuff than what he's done since getting to college.
Will Steve Sarkisian lose less than four games? If you had to, I know which what you believe they can be,
yeah.
But if you had, in your heart of hearts, your projection, do you feel that that streak of his will come to an end?
We're talking regular season.
Let's say the entire year. Will they lose? Because a regular season is an underachievement if they lose four games.
Yeah, I think they'll go 9-3. Like, their Vegas over-under is 9.5. My favorite bet to make every year in college football is the under on Texas.
Well, Miami could do the same.
Yeah, I might join you on that one next year. So I think Texas goes 9-3, but they'll lose one of the conference title or the bowl game. So I'll say they do get to four losses when it's all said.
And will that have been enough?
Yeah, Sark's sticking around. Unless they go like 5-7, I think Sark's getting a fourth year. I think the Arch recruitment, we don't even know if he's going to be any good, but I think the fact that he was able to land him is going to buy him another year. And I just, it sounds wrong probably if you've watched Texas operate, but I don't think they want to fire another coach.
No one wants to fire a coach, but he may,
right.
He may, and the powers that be might say, okay, enough. 5-7 in his first year, 8-5 in his second year. So improvement is 9-4. I just think it depends on how that four comes about, which, like it always does.
So you think he's on a hotter seat than I do?
I don't think he's on a hot seat. I just think it matters who the four are and what they look like in those four and what they look like in their wins. Because if they're scraping about with Quinn Ewers or even if Arch Manning takes, however it comes about, they want to see what any program wants to see improvement. You don't want to see the death struggles with Texas Tech, which seems to be always the case. I think people want to see Texas beat up on teams they should beat up on and then compete with the teams that are, quote-unquote, as good as them or better than them, and let's see how it goes.
Yeah, you talk about the progression. Like, that's – you need to be steady in that. Where Tom Herman went wrong in Austin was he won 10 games the second year. They beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and then after that, they took a step back. Yeah. Like, A&M, Jimbo in the COVID year was awesome, and then since then, it's been a disaster. Like, if you don't see that linear progression, then you get nervous, and that sort of increases your hot seat rating, if that's a thing.
You get people thinking about, who's out there who could be better?
Yep.
So, yeah, I think the 9-4 thing is good. It'll all be about context. And if they feel that things are getting better, then Sark will be fine. And if they don't, we know there's a quick trigger in Austin. So look at that. College football in May. Simply because Georgia can't drive. But there that is. We got a couple more segments to go. We'll get some more Astro sound. It wasn't a great night last night, but it could have been a disaster. So we'll hear from some of the participants in their 6-0 loss that ended their 8-game winning streak, and there's some more stuff to get to as the audition wraps up. Dell, RJ, Brad, a couple more seconds ago. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I dug the party. Who said they saw me? Crown on by Molly. Wrist on your body. They go judge your life for a couple likes on a double tap.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the audition with Del Olale and the guy vying to be his sidekick, Brad Kellner.
We're back. I thought
that was the shortest rejoin of all time.
Yeah, I didn't know where that came from, but I was talking to Brad about, people who celebrate their birthday months and are contempt for them. And if you're out there and you do, like, celebrate a month of birthdays, just know, Brad and I, not on your side.
No, you could celebrate your birthday.
Yeah, that's look, I don't think it's that special only because everyone has one.
Yeah.
But I get it. You want to be around people that you love and it's your birthday. I got it. But if it becomes an event thing where we're talking about, I'm not going to use the name you use. I don't know if that person listens or people you know are listening that know them. But if it's a month of you, I don't, that's too much. I feel like a day of you is enough.
Yeah, maybe a weekend. Yeah, if your birthday's on a Friday,
yeah,
you go on
a trip, you hang out with your people. I get it. But a month of you celebrating your birthday?
No, I'll tell you the story that I said during the break. I'm not worried if she's listening.
Okay,
I don't think she is. But yeah, girl, I know her name's Kayla. Her birthday's in May, and every month of May, it's Mayla. Like, the whole month is about her because that's when her birthday falls. It's a bad bit.
Yeah, it's enough, and she's in your age range, so. You got to get over that at some point, right? Mayla can't be a thing in your not that I'm not 10 years from now when she's in her mid 40s or whatever. I don't even know how you are, but in her 40s, she's still talking about Mayla.
Yeah.
enough. You're too old. In fact, she's too old now.
Yeah, she is.
But the rolling of my eyes that I'd have to hide.
Yep.
If someone incorporated their name and the month and named it Mela, we probably wouldn't be friends because my face would tell you I'm not having it.
Right.
I'm not great at hiding it. I'm also not great at remembering people's names. So
we've learned that.
Shout out to Ike.
Yeah. Every old white guy is now Ike to you.
No, they're all, hey, man.
Yeah. What's going on, bud?
That's generally who they are. Julian, is he the San Francisco fan? Julian.
Ah, but this time, Niner gang.
But this time, he wants to talk about LeBron. What's up, Julian?
Good morning, gentlemen. Bang, bang, Niner gang. You know what it is.
There it is.
Hey, man, listen. So before I go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning and I listen to the radio, and you would be surprised. So today, they talked about LeBron for the first hour. Yesterday, they talked about LeBron from 5 to 7 pretty much the whole time. So I call them this morning, and I say, hey, I'm wondering, why are you guys talking about LeBron? Didn't the Nuggets just win? Didn't the Celtics just win? And the dude started arguing with me. Well, what are you supposed to talk about, huh? You hung up on me. How about this, man? You have a good day. You have a good day. Hung up on me. Because I was like, well, didn't Jokic just have like a 30 and 15-15 game, so to speak? And all y'all do is say, oh, LeBron had a 40-point, essentially, triple-double. But it wasn't a triple-double. So I just want to say thank you guys for not overkilling LeBron like everybody else does. Have a good day.
I appreciate it. I mean, I understand if you're calling a national show, that's what they're going to do. It's the formula. But at some point, LeBron isn't really a story because anyone who I think feels that they can discern LeBron at all will tell you he ain't going anywhere. That the whole retirement thing is not real.
No.
I don't buy it. There's a story on how much it will cost him to retire this summer.
Yeah.
It's hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's all for the documentary.
It's it was supposed, what was it called? It's his version of The Last Dance or something, or at least the people who did The Last Dance are doing this documentary. I don't think losing in four to the Nuggets was the ending they were looking for.
No.
So I guess he had to add more drama. I don't think it's a story. So that's why we talked about it a little bit yesterday in reference to how it's overshadowing the Nuggets. But LeBron will be playing. He's not going anywhere. So why? But look, anyone who's watched these national shows and listened to the national radio shows knows that this is what they lean on. Because apparently the algorithm tells you that this is what people want to listen to.
Yeah.
Tip or of the watch.
Cap. Tip of the cap to LeBron, by the way. PR masterclass from changing the narrative to
getting swept.
Yeah, you got swept to, oh, he might retire. Like, that's genius by him to make sure that people are talking about his legacy and the good stuff that he's done over the course of his career instead of just that disaster that happened recently. But, yeah, that's just how it goes. Like, I was on the stationary bike yesterday. And I watched First Take for a couple of segments. It was literally LeBron James, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers.
Dak Prescott?
Like, literally.
Why?
Like, it's May. Nothing's going on.
At least Aaron Rodgers tweaked his ham or his calf.
Was yeah. It? Oh, this was before that even happened.
Okay.
They were just talking about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not the Jets are Super Bowl contenders.
No, at least he's there. Actually, I can't even defend it, honestly.
That's just what those shows are. Like, they're so trained to talk about certain players and certain teams that, yeah, the story should absolutely be the Nuggets. The fact that they've been a franchise for almost 50 years and they're finally making it to their first NBA Finals.
First time they beat the Lakers. First time they swept a series.
Yeah, and Jokic is the best player in the world right now. Like,
yes.
A lot of people, even though he won MVP the last two seasons, I feel like a lot of people didn't realize how good of a player Nikola Jokic was. And I don't think people realized he was drafted during a Taco Bell Quesarito commercial, which makes him even better. He's awesome. Jamal Murray's emergence as a superstar player in this league. Like, that should be the story right there, what the Nuggets did. But that's just the way, like you said, Dale, the national media is trained and programmed to talk about certain players at certain times. And it's always going to be LeBron. He's always going to be bigger than the league for a lot of those people.
I fear that we're kind of in a bubble because we say, why would you do that? But there's something that's telling them that they should. Because the goal is to draw eyes and make money and get it interaction. So something is telling them that's what they should talk about. And maybe just me have done this for a while finds it uninteresting because the story is not LeBron because he's not retiring. We got a couple tweets here.
Mm.
Do you and Paul have a thing? Are you dead to is Paul gone dead to you?
Those are two different questions. I do not have a thing with Paul.
Well,
I just want that out there.
Well, I mean, phrasing, obviously, on my part. But yeah. I meant a thing like anything. It didn't have to be an actual thing, but is there an issue, I guess?
A little bit of an issue. You know, I try not to hold grudges as a person, but we do a segment on the afternoon program every Tuesday called Hypothetical Tuesday.
And why do you say program? Because that came up. You mispronounce things. People think you do it on purpose. Some people think that's just how you speak. Is it a on purpose thing that you say program, or are you from the South?
I'm saying it the right way.
RJ, is it program or program?
Being from the West Coast, it's program.
It's a Southern. Is it a Texas thing?
I don't know.
Were you born in Texas?
No.
Where were you born?
Kansas City.
Is it a Kansas thing? A
Midwest thing?
Program.
I don't know. I say process too. People get mad at that one.
Program feels like you're like Kirby Smart's GA.
Mm.
Feels like a Southern thing.
Uh-oh.
For me.
Well, I better call an Uber home then.
Or at least be the one driving those players.
Yeah, that would be my job.
Yeah,
if I was there.
Probably.
Designated driver for them.
So what's the segment you do on your program?
So it's called It's called Hypothetical Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 4:45. And Cody was out a couple of weeks ago, so when one of the other guys is out, we try to bring in a guest host to answer some of the questions that I ask. And I had requested Paul to be the guest host for that day. I texted him about 12 o'clock on that Tuesday, asking him if he was interested in being our guest host during Hypothetical Tuesday, and he said, yeah. He liked my message. He said, yeah, I'm in, 4:45, let's do it. And then 4:45 gets there, and we call him, and he didn't answer. We called him a few times. We texted him, and he didn't answer. And then 2 hours later, he's like, I was asleep. Sorry. So
that is always a danger when you do a radio show at the time he does it. There's always a chance you're taking a nap when you didn't plan on it.
Well, yeah, when you work 2 hours a day, you know, of course you got to be sleeping.
I don't know
for the
rest of it. I don't know what Paul does before he gets here. I don't
know if I want to know.
Look, who knows what the life he leads. The 2 hours that he does here may be a bright spot in a dark life. I don't know. I don't know. I don't
Maybe.
Know. I don't. You never know. You don't know. So, yeah, I could see that. You said you would do it, and you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got an empty spot where we look dumb because we expected you.
Yeah.
I get it. So that's not over now?
We can move on.
Okay.
He was dead to me for a while. It feels like a minor accusation to somebody, but I think it's
rarely said, but the phrase, you're dead to me, I love.
Oh, underrated.
I love it.
Underused and underrated.
There are very few times where you're actually going to say it to someone.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, it hits. I appreciate it. And anyone who can get it into a normal conversation and mean it, I'm on your side. Unlike if you celebrate your birthday for a month.
I'm with you on that.
Not on your side. And Paul responds with a laugh.
Oh, there you go.
So at least he's listening. Hey, Paul, I'm not going to request that you come on at some point because I can't trust you to show up.
Yeah, I can't either. He's never getting another invite on to our
show. I'm sure he's fuming.
Oh, he's devastated.
About that.
Yep.
Final segment of... at least for today, and with Brad, the final segment of the audition coming up. Once again, thank you, Brad, for doing this with me. RJ, been consistent. Thank you as well. We got one more segment to go. We'll be back.
ESPN. 97.5.
He was feeling sick, and so that's why he called us out there. And, we just took him out because we thought it was the best thing to do, and you know, for precautionary reasons. And like I said, he was feeling sick, and you can sort of see it. So you know, he's being evaluated by the doctors, and you know, we'll let you know more tomorrow.
Let's get back to the audition with Del Olale and the guy who's still auditioning, Brad Kellner. Will he get the part? Only Del knows that answer. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell and auditioner Brad Kellner.
That was Dusty Baker following last night's game after they pulled Altuve early because of an illness. And they did let us know by way of the lineup. Altuve's not in the lineup for the 12-10 start. Brandon Bielak is the starting pitcher. As you might expect, Mauricio Dubon will lead off and play second base. And the rest of it is pretty much what you might expect. But Altuve not in the lineup, so whatever the illness is, it was bad enough to keep him from playing today. But who knows? It's a getaway. He might not have played anyway, but he definitely isn't playing because of the illness. So we'll see if there is a real, I don't know, diagnosis that we'll hear about, or maybe they'll just stick with the broad illness reasoning. But it could have been something a lot worse when I know this because people were putting out the prayer candles because they were fearful of something really big happening. And, if it's him just being sick, which isn't great, you don't want him to feel bad. But it is the least destructive thing for an Astros season if he's just missing a game because he's ill.
Well, with the Astros injury luck this season, I think a lot of people's minds went to a dark, dark place when Altuve left the game early. And the fact that he had just come back from an injury, it's like, uh-oh, that makes it even worse. Like, what's going on? Is that thumb popping up again, or is there something else now that we need to worry about with Altuve? But, yeah, I mean, like you said, you don't want anyone to be sick, but this feels like best-case scenario. And my assumption is Altuve will be in the lineup after the off day. So when we get to Oakland on Friday, Altuve will be back leading off, playing second base. And if that's the case, it's all good. But my guess is he was doing his best John Witherspoon, the late, great John Witherspoon in the movie Friday, in the bathrooms, in the clubhouse after the game last night. Couldn't have been good.
I mean, I called it bubble guts. You got a little bit more descriptive, but yes.
I don't nobody go in the bathroom for the next 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah. John Witherspoon, late, great is correct.
Yeah.
The Wayans brothers as pops. Did you watch? You had to, right? RJ, the Wayans brothers. My Love Goes Bang 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 was a part of. I think that was pops. He would sing that song.
Mm-hmm.
John Witherspoon, great. Sorry to see him go, but now I'm just thinking about the Wayans brothers. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thankfully, it is in the realm of what Brad is talking about in regards to Jose Altuve, and not something where he'll be out for an extended amount of time. So we'll see the Astros tonight. This afternoon, the game starts at 12:10. We'll see if they can get back on the right track and win that series against the Brewers, because they need to catch the Rangers, who it's division to lose, according to Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah,
who is their first baseman. We played that sound earlier. The Rangers have an early start today, too. They play the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Astros and the Rangers are playing the two teams competing for the division in the NL Central. I'm trying to remember. Pittsburgh's in the NL Central, right? I didn't get that wrong.
They still are.
Okay,
I know. It's been a while since the Astros have been in that division.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I was making sure I got that right. So we're having that back and forth. Hopefully Pittsburgh can do the Astros a favor. The Astros can do Pittsburgh a favor, and then the Astros are within a game of the division lead again. So you're not doing the afternoon show today.
I'm not.
You get to do this and then get to go home. So on a day where your work day ends at 10. What does Brad Kellner do?
We're about to find out.
Oh, you've never done it before?
No, I don't think so.
You didn't plan anything?
I've got a dentist appointment.
Oh, well, that's not great. Although I don't even mind a dentist, as long as it's like just a teeth cleaning.
I haven't been in like 3 years, so I don't know what to expect.
Oh, the anxiety over whether you have cavities or not ain't great, because I had taken a lot of time between dentist appointments, but luckily I'm a pretty good flosser and brusher, so it wasn't too bad. But when you're sitting in that chair and they start to dig around in there, you're like, ooh, so you might suffer some of that.
And I don't trust them either.
You don't trust dentists.
The dentist I went to in Austin is my cousin, like my dad's cousin, his family. And he told me that I needed a night guard. He said I was like grinding my teeth when I sleep. There's more information than you care to know.
I don't mind it.
And I literally got a second opinion. I was like a professional athlete who, I was like, oh, this first opinion.
Did you go to the Dr. James Andrews of dentists?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I went to a completely different dentist.
You don't trust your cousin.
And I'm like, I
know you. I've seen you do things. Yeah, I'm out on you.
And the dentist was like, nah, like he's right.
Okay.
Oh, shoot. Okay. So that's where I'm at. Like, I'm nervous because I'm going to this dentist for the first time. Like, he or she's just going to make up some random stuff, and it's going to be like, ah, come on. Do I really need that? Is that really wrong with me right now?
Yeah.
That's what I've got.
Yeah, I had a root canal, which didn't go – it wasn't painful. It is disconcerting to hear the drill as you're laying back. You know they numb you, so you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they hear the whir of the drill, and you can feel the digging as they clean out the root. It's odd, but I don't mind. I'll just lay back and let them do their business. And that's phrasing.
Whoa,
again.
Easy
phrasing,
to Sean.
But I'm at a dentist. I'm at a dentist.
Okay.
So, and I'm conscious. So I didn't have to worry about that. But I found it actually quite relaxing.
Hmm.
Nothing I can do matters. I'm just going to let, watch the phrasing.
Gosh.
I'm just going to sit here and you do your job and we'll see how it goes. So I don't mind it at all. I think you'll be okay. Unless you ask for a second opinion. I don't know how your dentist will take it. Hey, I don't even know you, and you're questioning what I do?
Yeah. Well, I didn't tell my cousin I was getting a second opinion. I just went and did that on my own. But, yeah, now I'm afraid to ask what you're doing after the show based on the things that you just said.
I'm just gonna lay back and go to work, because I do have a job to get to afterwards. And we're done for the day, I think. Paul Gallant is up next. Paul and Brad will have this odd crossover where they say they're fake highs and say good show because apparently they have something between them that isn't cordial. So
how did I do in the audition, by the way?
It's not a, well.
Do I have a chance?
I talked to Danny about this yesterday, and I told him that we don't make grades until the audition week is over.
Oh, okay.
If Josh Beard blows you out of the water, or if he stinks, it could be a sliding scale where you get an A or you get an F. It all depends on Josh.
So I'll find out at the end of this week if I'm going to be on the morning show.
Yeah, much like a real job, you'll hear from me or not.
Yeah.
And if it goes poorly, you won't hear from me because that's kind of how people do things.
Oh, God.
They don't call you and go, "Sorry, you didn't get it." Normally, that doesn't always happen.
I'm going to start calling you next week then to see what happens.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing about doing this, people have my number that didn't have my number before. Now I'm like, oh, now Brad has access to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be a huge problem.
I don't think you will. I'll just start calling you Ike like my neighbor.
I am white, so we have that in common.
If that happens. But that's a story for – we don't podcast this show, but that's a story for the Twitch if you go listen back to it. I had an awkward encounter with my neighbor. It didn't go well for me, and I think it led to the Heat losing Game 4 to the Celtics. All my fault. But that wraps up the audition for today. Once again, Brad, thank you for doing this.
Of course.
RJ, of course, for keeping us steady. Paul Gallant up next, then the Killer Bees, and then Brad's actual show, which he won't be a part of because he did this, the Wool House. Jake and Cody, and Brad took Cody or Jake. Who did you take again?
No comment.
Oh,
well, it's not on the podcast, so nobody knows.
There's some cowardice there. But that's the lineup. I'll see you tomorrow.
Drive me smooth, motherfucker.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.